Stay standing with me, if you will, and take your Bibles and go to the book of 1 Corinthians now. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. It's right after the book of Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans.
Right before 2 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians chapter number 15. This morning, we'll read two verses. We'll read them both together. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll read verses 33 and verse number 34 together. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Let's begin reading in verse number 33. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame, and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for today. I love Sunday. Lord, it's so cliche, but it's so important, and it's needed in our lives, Lord, and I'm thankful for a group of people that find it important, Lord, to not just be here, but to have their families here, to take time away from a busy schedule, to take a day out of the week to just stop and to refocus their life and make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. Lord, we do thank you for giving us the Bible and the importance that it holds in our lives. Lord, many of us this week have spent time with you. We've spent time reading it. Lord, we've spent time thinking and talking about it. But here we are this morning. Holy Spirit, we'll yield ourselves to you now as the man of God preaches the Word of God. We'd ask that our hearts be in tune with you as he delivers a message that you've given to him. We'll ask that you'd be with us this morning and do what we cannot do. Encourage us, strengthen, convict where necessary. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen, and you may be seated.
Keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them a bit today. I want to help you. I want to help us. I want to help you understand some things, but I also want you to pay attention because I don't normally do this. Usually I have a hook in every sermon. I've got a treble hook in this one. You're going to get caught in every direction on this thing today. And I just want to help us. We live in a rude world. You know, people used to always be friendly and neighborly, used to wave and use all their fingers when they did it. In this super fast information age, you don't have to be friendly in conversation to learn things. Google, Facebook, and internet has made our world very impersonable. We can be as rude as we want and still get the information we need to get. This world feels empowered by fast information. I preached a sermon on that a couple weeks ago. We feel smarter because we can push buttons and get an answer, or we can say, hey, Siri, and we think we're intelligent. May I say something? Siri's not always right. Siri is not God. Siri is not the Word of God. We call that smarter or enlightened. There are more people who love their phone or their computer more than the people they love in their household. Let me ask you a question. How much time do you spend on your phone and on your computer compared with the people you live with? I'm not saying, I'm home while I do that. That doesn't count. I mean one-on-one, no interruptions. How much time do you spend with the people in your home? Boy, it's getting quiet in here. I wasn't even to the sermon yet. We're still in the introduction. People used to try to get along with each other. We didn't always have to agree, but you at least learned to get along with them. When I was a kid, we had neighbors that they weren't Christians. They weren't like us, but I got along with all of them. My mom and dad got along with them. If I did something and broke the neighbor's window, man, my dad whomped the fire out of me. We had to go fix it. I fixed many a window in Mr. C's garage. Put many a baseballs through that window. I've even put golf balls through it, hit from baseball bats. Did you know those things go really fast and they're hard to control? I found out the hard way. Now, men used to respect ladies and not talk badly in front of them. Ladies now are more crass and corrupt than men were 40 years ago. Children used to respect, that's true, children used to respect all adults, and it didn't matter who the adult was, they could correct a child. If you got in trouble at school, you got in trouble at home, no questions asked. If the neighbors called and said, your son did this, my dad whooped us, and then we went down and found out how bad the damage really was. And then you got whooped again if it was worse. People were not as nasty or rude and as vile as we have become today. You now have 5-year-olds who cuss out adults in public. The filthy music, the vileness of Hollywood, the nastiness of and the evil and the witchcraft and the sorcery of comic books and Disney, the sensualism and the sexuality used to sell everything from soap to anything else. We are a nation and a world filled with evil communication. No wonder we have such bad manners in America today. We have protesters who burned buildings and murdered people and looted and robbed and stole and continue to steal, as our public schools teach, that's your right. And what is right is taught as being wrong. Now pray tell me how you can stand before a school full of children and say, your right is to protest and burn buildings and destroy police cars and shoot people you disagree with, but if you bring a Bible to school, that's anti-Christian, that's against the Constitution. Hello. How about we put God back in the schools and teach what God said, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. God said that evil communication corrupts good manners. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 33. The word manners is the Greek word ethos or ethos, however you would like to say it. It's where we get the word ethics. So, this generation that we live in, with all the nasty communication we have, is a very unethical generation. Have you not seen that? Have you been to Home Depot or Lowe's, and tried to get customer service? You got a better chance of getting a snowball where the booger man lives before you get that. There's no such thing as customer service anymore. Why? Because we live in such evil and corrupt communication that people have no ethics anymore. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and they got your order wrong and you go back to the counter and they look at you like you got 5 eyeballs and they want to stand there and argue that they're right? Whatever happened to the customer is always right. Now, hang on. People are so selfish that in this generation they'll do whatever it takes to get what they want. We don't care about how others feel. We don't care how it will affect someone else, just as long as I get what I want. Kind of like when you pull up to a 4-way stop. Okay, we went from preaching to meddling really fast, didn't we? Isn't it amazing how that we have to be the first one through? It was my turn. And you lost a whole 5 seconds of life. Whatever happened to us being cordial, kind, ethical? we'll do whatever it takes to get our opinion out. As long as I say what I want to say. You don't care how it affects anybody, whether they live in your house or where you work or wherever it be. We've just got to tell our opinion. We've got to leave our comment on a website. Can I tell you how dumb that is? Now listen to me. I want us to look at how this evil communication corrupting good manners can affect us. What can we do? How do we protect ourselves from corrupting our own manners? How can we as Christians not fall prey to the corruption by evil communication? Number one, what are manners? Ouch. I'm not just talking about not putting your elbows on the table when you eat. I'm not just talking about not opening your mouth when you got food in it and talking and splashing everybody and spitting in everybody's face. You'd be surprised, let me tell you. Good night, my dad is, when I was a kid, probably would have been put in jail 15 times if I were growing up today. I can't tell you how many times. Be sitting at the table chomping and talking, and he'd just reach over and whap. You got food in your mouth. Shut up. Swallow and then talk. You say, your dad did that? Yep. And I don't talk while I got food in my mouth, even to my wife. And God bless waiters and waitresses. They always have to come up when you got food in your mouth. But I've been on the other side of that. You're at a place eating. How are they not going to do that? You just, and some of you just automatically shovel it in so you don't have to say anything. I get it. But what are manners? Manners, scripturally, is the word ethics. Ethics are moral principles by which a person governs their lives or their behavior. It's how we conduct ourselves in any activity. In other words, an ethic is something that helps you live at a certain level at all times, and it's what rules your life. For instance, if I come to a door and there's a lady, I'll open the door and let her go through first. That's being ethical. Everybody understand that? Now, it would be nice if they said thank you, and there's a time or two I've wanted to put my foot somewhere when they didn't. I'm not your priest. Don't confess your sins to me. Now, wait a minute. Those are some things that are ethical. It's appropriate when Brother Josh and I, if you see one of the ladies come up here to sing or something, we'll stand when she comes to the platform. It's an ethical thing for a man to stand when a lady enters a room or a place of honor. That's just the way it's supposed to be. There are ethics with how you do business. If you're going to sell a car and you know something's wrong with it, ethically you should let the person buying it know what's wrong with it. Not sell them something that you know is going to break down before they get it off the ground. But I got their money. Yeah, but there's some ethics that go with that. There's ethics in church work. People don't practice it anymore. I will not, if people come to our church and they're members of another independent Baptist church, I won't go visit them. I'll go one time, thank them for their visit, because usually I don't know they're a member of that church, and then I'll say, the door is always open, but I am not here to take you from your church. I believe that's ethical. And if it's a close enough church, and it's like our church, unless that person says, preacher, I'm about to make a change, and I understand people need a place to go to, but often I'll contact the former pastor where they came from and said, hey, one of your families came to my church. See, why do you do that? That's ethics. Remember a couple weeks ago when Brother Chris Droulard was here from Maine, and they had some of their folks here. You heard me get up and say, now, you folks from Maine, don't put your tithe in our offering, because don't curse my church. What was I doing? I was being ethical. We've had Brother C and some of his folks come here from Frederick for different meetings, and you'll hear me say, don't put your tithe in. Tithe to your church, not to mine. Say, what is that?
Ethics.
Ethics. Our ethics or our manners shape how we act. They're not for public appearance. They're to shape what we do in all situations. Did you know that I'm supposed to be kind to ladies here in church and in public, but I'm also supposed to be the same way with my wife? I know that's a novel idea, fellers. But I'm not supposed to do it just at church. I try to always open my wife's car door. Now, sometimes she gets there or I get out before she does or whatever, and it doesn't always work out. But most of the time, my wife will tell you, I'll open the door for her. And I don't let it slam on top of her either. All right? Our world and our churches and our pastors and our society as a whole is very poor in ethics these days. It really is. So ethics are moral standards by which we live. Did you know you're supposed to teach your children ethics? You're supposed to teach them to tell the truth? You're supposed to teach a boy how to shake a man's hand and look him in the eyeball and squeeze it and not be like some little Twinkie? You know, a girl needs to be taught how to say thank you if somebody opens the door for her. Well, they should learn. Who's going to teach them? It's all of our jobs to teach them. As our bus kids come in and folks come into our church, they don't always know. So I'll teach them ethics. I make sure I stand at the door and shake their hand. Say why? I'm trying to teach them some ethics. Most of you adults would know this, but this used to be taught in school. Did you know that if you have a hat on, you're not supposed to wear it walking into a building, especially a church building? Now, that's not taught anymore, and some people come to our church and they've never been taught. Some of you old-timers get mad at them. Why don't you say, hey, it'd be a good thing if you took your hat off. That's the appropriate thing. We've got young people that come in and they don't know, and I'll stop them at the door and say, hey, can you do me a favor? The right thing to do is take your hat off before you come in church. I'm not mad at you. But that's the right thing to do. And I'm just trying to help you do the right thing. Oh, yeah, preacher, no problem. They don't know. They've never been taught. It used to be when you heard the Star Spangled Banner, you stood, you looked at the flag and put your hand over your heart. You didn't kneel on the sideline. We have a world of bad ethics because of the evil communication. Now, God said, evil communication corrupts good manners. Are you ready? Here comes a hook. Much of the communication of this world is evil today. Much of the communication in our world today is evil. And yes, I'm going to name some of the things you're thinking about right now, I'm sure. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 29 says this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. We live in a negative, critical world. If we disagree with something, we have to be heard. God said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Say, well, I'm doing it to help them. No, you're doing it so that you can blow off steam. Just because you can see something that you don't agree with doesn't mean everybody needs to hear about it. Everybody doing all right? Colossians chapter 3. Let me read another verse to you. The Bible says, verse number 8. It does better when I look and see which verse I'm supposed to read. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Oh. God said, when you get saved, you're to put off filthy communication. That's nasty jokes. That's how we used to talk before we got saved. That's the negativity. That's talking about things that don't need to be talked about. Everybody doing all right? I'm going to read another verse to you, just so that you don't get mad at me, you can get mad at God. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 21, and you did not turn there. I'll be there before you are. But Proverbs 18, 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Can I tell you something? You hold in your mouth your tongue, and that tongue can give life or it can spew death. We have the ability to give life, and we have the ability to give death. Let me ask you a question. What kind of communication proceeds out of your mouth? What kind of ethics come out of your mouth? Look at how much evil communication we allow into our lives every day. Now, I'm going to say this first so you don't get mad at me, but God said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That means, okay, those of you that are refined, you're not going to like this, so close your ears. But your words are actually your mind throwing up. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What you've put in eventually is going to come out. Look at how much evil communication we bombard ourselves with every day. Look at the music of our day today. The filthiness of music. Of course, you wouldn't believe the mail that gets sent to the church. I get stuff sent from every walk of life. I get lawyers who claim to be Christians that send me things and different things. And I was reading, and they were talking about copyright laws and how that this lady in this church wanted to take secular music and put Christian words to it and was having trouble legally. I thought, well, the first problem is she's using the devil's music to put God's words to it. That's the first problem. If you get right and read the Bible, she wouldn't have that problem. We're not supposed to, just because the words are good doesn't mean that it's right. Did you know that music has a purpose? Everybody doing all right? I'm talking about gossip. Thank God we don't have trouble with gossip at this church. The way I preach, they don't stay around very long. Yeah. Trust me. But did you know that gossip is a two-way street? It takes a spewer and it takes a bucket to get it. Don't let your ear be a bucket to catch somebody else's verbal vomit. Amen. That wasn't written down, but I thought it was pretty good. Did you know that you don't have to listen to gossip? I don't listen to gossip. I don't listen to preachers gossip about their church members. I got invited to a meeting recently for preachers, independent Baptist preachers who are discouraged. We're going to meet twice a month, such and such day for these hours, and we're going to have good singing, good preaching to encourage you for the ministry. Say, preacher, what did you do? I sent a text back and said, instead of having a meeting, how about y'all go soul winning for those 4 hours and quit eating? And maybe you'd get some folks to come to your church and that would encourage you and you wouldn't need to have those meetings. And I didn't go. And I'm not planning on going. Any preacher that's got to go to a meeting just to get himself encouraged probably needs more help than a meeting. He needs a good time with God. I'm talking about social media. how much of your Facebook shouldn't even be read? Some of y'all get wound up about stuff. And I think, why are you reading it? Well, it came to my Facebook account. Put your face in the book and get rid of Facebook and you'd be a whole lot better off.
Amen.
I'm not saying everything on Facebook is bad, or Twitter or whatever you call that thing. Did I say that right? This church isn't going on Facebook. I was at a Bible college and was preaching, and I said something like that. And the guy came to me and said, how can you have a church without having Facebook? I said, well, Jesus did. Well, I never thought of that. I thought, that's the world we live in. It really is. I have people all the time begging me to put church on Facebook. Nope. Say why? They know where we're at. Let's go knock on doors. Well, how are you going to get the word out? Y'all are the trackinest people I've ever seen in my life. We have passed out almost 250,000 gospel tracts in 10 years. Mrs. Lopez brought a boy to church this morning from the new bus route area, and he saw me standing at the door. He said, that's the guy on that piece of paper you brought. Yeah, y'all think I'm kidding when I say things like that, but it's true. I put my hand around him and said, yeah, that's a face that's so ugly you'll never forget it. Trust me.
Amen.
Shut up. But we didn't put Brother Scott's on there because we wanted people to come. Wait a minute. Social media is filled with evil. Everybody backstabbing and gossiping and everything else. What are you doing with that mess? How about Hollywood? Look at the evil that Hollywood... I don't suggest you do this a whole lot, but just look at the title of some of the movies and the TV shows. You know, Satan, 666. Hello. Look at the evilness portrayed. This one's going to hurt.
The Marvel Comics.
Most of it is witchcraft. Most of it is evil powers. And what's not is indecent exposure. So, well, they're covered. Spraying paint on a woman's body doesn't mean it's covered. And some of what they wear is tighter than paint. Good Lord, they probably got to suck in for about 3 minutes before they can even get it on. And we think that's acceptable. Would you want your daughter to dress that way? Let me ask you a question. Do you want somebody's wife to come to church dressed that way? But it's okay for you to watch. Evil communication corrupts good manners. I'm talking about the news media. Hello. Nothing but a bunch of filthy lies. You have to be very careful how much news you pay attention to. I think that we ought to know what's going on, but CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, and even some of Fox isn't going to tell you the truth.
Amen.
Hate to tell you the truth. Well, isn't it amazing? You didn't believe some of what they said before, but now you want to believe them about what you want to believe them about. I'm going to really kick this one for a second and leave it. I'm talking about public education, our government schools, secondary schools, as well as colleges. It is a bastion of evil communication. When law schools had to have cry rooms when President Trump was elected president because everybody was so depressed. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Isn't it amazing that they say if we don't back President Biden that we're unpatriotic? But for 4 years, what did they do to our last president? They could literally have comedians have come out with a head in effigy like they beheaded him and everything was okay. They should have been put in jail. But our public education says socialism is far better than capitalism. That's when let's base everything based on the color of somebody's skin. Did you know you have no control over that? Neither do I. And what does somebody's skin color matter to anything anyway? People are people. I don't care what color they are. And I'm colorblind, can't see it anyway.
The video games that we play in our homes are evil, many of them.
That way you don't have to confess your sin because I'm not your priest. In America, last year, $57 billion, with a B, were spent on video games and gaming systems. That is $200 per person for every human being in the United States of America. I hate to say this, but I counsel, not just here, but people from other states. We have grown adults who spend more time playing games on their computer than they do with their own family inside their homes. And some are spending hundreds and thousands of dollars a year. We have people, I wouldn't doubt in a church this size, we have people that spend a couple hundred dollars a month playing video games. I hate to tell you something, I got more to do with that than play games. If I'm going to be home, I'm going to be with my wife. Or if the kids come over and we have game night, we're going to play games. Or if Hunter comes over, we're going to play games. Or I'm going to take my gun for a walk, go shoot and kill something that I can eat. Now, listen to this very carefully here. 95% of the video games in America today, if you really looked at them in light of the scripture, you'd have a cow. False gods are represented. Violence, killing, anger. The police will tell you a child raised on video games is the most dangerous shooter in any situation. They are numb. They have so numbed the adrenaline rush that they are calm when they're going into schools and shooting and killing people. Well, I like what you like what it does to you, but it's also numbing many generations of people. And I do know what I'm talking about here. Look at the liberal religion of today. And I use that term very broadly. Well, we're going to have a church that we're going to find out what the people want and give them what they want. How about we give people what God wants? Amen. Folks, I'm not here to cater to man. I'm not here to cater to money. This is kind of like military chow. You put your plate out, we'll flop it on there. You're going to fork it down whether you like it or not. Can I tell you why? That's what God said we should do. We're not supposed to take a poll and find out what we want in a church. We're not going to play different music in for our kids and our teenagers than we play in here. Did you know our kids need no one ever cared for me like Jesus, just like you do? That song we just sang, Charles Weigel wrote that. Do you know why? Charles Weigel was an evangelist. He came home from preaching one day and there was a note on the kitchen table from his wife and she said, I'm tired of being a preacher's wife, I'm leaving you, and left him. He spent the rest of his ministry without his wife. One day in the loneliness of his own home, he sat down and wrote the words, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. We wonder where some of these songs come from. It wasn't a video game. It wasn't, let's give everybody what they want. Did you know teenagers need the same preaching that adults need? Did you know kids need the same preaching that adults need? Now, it needs to be brought down to their language and at their level. I get that. I gotta hurry, because I have another point or two. We bombard ourselves and our homes with evil communication. No wonder that there's so much fussing and feuding going on in the four walls of our houses. We won't even live good manners at home. Number three, are you ready? We're to overcome evil communication with good communication. This will lead to good manners instead of bad manners. Romans 12. Let me turn back just a few pages. Romans chapter 12. Let me read four or five verses to you here. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 17. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. It doesn't say with all saved people. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That means this. When evil communication comes your way, shut it down and start communicating with good. Instead of responding in Facebook, how about you start preaching on Facebook? Not about that particular sin. Everybody doing okay? Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 16, we won't take time to turn there, also talks about overcoming evil with good. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 18 says this, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Let me ask you a question. When your neighbor does something that ticks you off, have you rewarded it with good? Make a couple statements here. Please listen to these. It is not the absence of bad that makes something good. It is good that makes something good. Just because you didn't say anything does not mean that you were good. You are not a good person, and you don't have good children just because they don't do a lot of bad. You are only good when you do good. Okay, let's bring it down to where we live. You are not a good Christian because you don't do bad or because you live separated from the world. James 4:17 says that to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So it's not the absence of bad, it is the presence of doing good that makes one good, correct? That means this, if you're not doing good and you're not doing bad, you're neutral. You're not doing anything. You overcome evil with good. You don't overcome evil by not saying anything. Well, I'll just keep my mouth shut so to keep peace. Sometimes you have to overcome evil with good. There are times I have to tell you things you don't want to hear. Can I tell you why? I have to overcome evil with good. You don't impress God by what you don't do. Let me say that again. You don't impress God with what you do not do. He will only look at what we actually do. Right. You're not going to get to heaven and say, God's going to say, look at you. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. You didn't do that. You didn't do that. He's going to say, what did you do? You will not be judged for what you did not do. You'll receive reward for what you do. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. You can grow up like I did and not drink liquor. But God's not impressed with that unless I do something good with it. I've never had drugs or smoked pot or anything like that. I tried chewing tobacco one time and after two swallows decided that was pretty bad. Mm-mm. Why anybody wants to grow weeds and let it dry out and put it in your mouth and or put it in a piece of paper and roll it up and smoke it doesn't make any sense at all to me. God wants you to smoke it to put a chimney on your head. Just doesn't make sense to me. Now, wait a minute. I could avoid all those things my entire life, but if I don't do good, I haven't been good in God's eyes. The staying away from bad does not make a person good. It is what good you do that makes you good. Boy, that's good stuff. So, how can you say you have good ethics if you're not doing good ethics? Just because you're not living by bad ethics does not mean you're living by good ethics. For instance, I got a phone call this week. I'll mention his name. Brother Danny Ortiz from over at Brother C's church in Frederick, one of his assistant pastors. Brother Danny called me and asked me to come preach at an adult teen banquet in May. And we talked for a little while. And before he went any farther, I said, Brother Danny, I said, thank you for calling me. One question, does Pastor C know that you're calling me? He said, of course, preacher. He said, I'd never ask you without checking with my preacher first. I said, I just need to make sure. Let's keep talking. Wait a minute. My ethics are to make sure the pastor understands his assistant pastor is asking me to come there and speak. Those are my ethics. Oh, by the way, not long ago, Brother Danny called me and there was a school situation there that involved one of the families in our church. And they said, before we talk to them, we wanted to get your permission. I said, you've got it. I love those kind of ethics. I do that with others, but not many people do that with me. Now, wait a minute. I respected Pastor C and Brother Ortiz enough to say, my ethics deem that I make sure the pastor knows that you're asking me to do this. By the way, he said, I'll have Pastor C text you just so that you know. I said, it's all right. I trust you, but I said, I would like to know for sure. And within moments, I had after hanging up, Pastor C texted me and said, I hear Brother Danny called you. He said, I'm glad that you're coming, Brother Bush. I said, well, I just wanted to make sure you knew. Can I tell you something? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? It's not the absence of bad ethics. It's the presence of good ethics. God wants us to overcome evil communication. For instance, arguing, fussing, feuding, fighting, bad music, bad education, etc., with good communication. By the way, and we're not going to take time because I got to hurry. Matthew 5:37, Luke 24:17 says that let your yea be nay, and let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay. Make sure that your communication is clear. Did you know that your instruction ought to be clear? Before you get mad at somebody because you understood what you said, make sure they understand what you said. Bless God, preacher, I told my wife this. Yeah, but did she really understand it? Go get this wrench and this socket and this size. They don't even know what a wrench or a socket is, half of them. I asked my wife for a Phillips head screwdriver. She just looked at me. I said, not the straight one, the star one. Oh, okay. She didn't know the difference. I knew what it meant. Everybody doing all right? Communication's a two-way street. It takes a transmitter and it takes a receiver. You can transmit it all day long, but if it's speaking a different language, the receiver isn't going to understand it. I've got to hurry. One last thing. Lastly, God wants us to communicate the gospel. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 2. I'm coming down to wind down here, but this is the last hook. I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them that were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Notice God says, communicated unto them the gospel. Philemon 6 says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. That means this, the gospel, the word gospel means good news. How do you overcome bad communication? Communicate the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ. You want to get evil people wound up? Start preaching the gospel to them and watch them burn. They get all on fire. May I say something? The more you get the gospel out, the more ethical or the more good manners you will get. I've gained good manners being in public by knocking on well over 1 million doors in my life. I've learned not to walk on people's grass. I've learned not to walk through their flowers. I've learned to push the doorbell first and then knock on the door. I've learned not to open the screen door and stand there with it open. You say, why? Because I've learned good ethics by making bad decisions. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But in the process of doing good with the gospel, I've learned better ethics. And you overcome the negativity. You want to shut people up, just start giving the gospel out. They'll run. I mean, it is the constant giving of the gospel itself that will breed good ethics. You get a kid that's brought up in church, that passes out tracts everywhere they go, they're afraid of nothing. They're not afraid of anybody. Say why? Because their ethics are passing out the good news. And when somebody gets rude, they go, what's wrong with you? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that one. Man, it's put up or shut up when he was little. I was getting my hair cut, and he was getting his hair cut, and the guy cutting his hair was smoking a cigarette, and he said, smoking's bad. Guy says, yeah, it's not good for you, he said. And he couldn't have been more than 4, 5, 6 years old. He said, yeah, people that smoke go to hell. You know how hard it is to recover your barber at that point in time? Glad I got my hair cut first. Wait a minute. Unfortunately, my barber was saved and lived just down the street from the church. He said, boy, you got a live one on that one, don't you? I said, yeah. Oh, you just never know what's going to come out of their mouth or when. Wait a minute. They have no shame because they're just used to give it. It's good news to them. Why not give it to everybody? Boy, what we could not learn from a child brought up on the gospel. Giving people the gospel keeps people out of hell. Blowing kisses, feeding the poor, and making everybody feel good doesn't keep anybody out of hell. I hate to tell you, you go to any church you want that's got their rock and roll music and there's fog machines and their light show and their big screens and all the stuff going on, but they don't preach the gospel, what good is it? I'm for feeding poor people, but you can feed all the poor people you want, but if you don't give them the gospel, they're going to die and go to hell with a full stomach.
That's right.
I'm for helping people. But if all we're going to do is help them and not give them the gospel, where's our ethics? Now, we're getting ready to start up our bus route in a new area here in Kearneysville. I'm going to ask you all to help. We're going to pick out areas near you, give you a bunch of bus flyers, and let you go out any day of the week you want, and just put flyers and tracks on indoors promoting our bus route area. All through the Kearneysville, Ranson, Charlestown area here. You don't even have to stop and talk to anybody if you don't want to. Just smile and say, here you go. Now, if you want to talk to them about it, talk to them about it. I'm for it. But you don't even have to talk. You could take your family. And you could do it as a family for an hour one evening and hit an entire neighborhood. Imagine what we could do passing out the good news about our church all over this area, helping getting people to come to church. Everybody doing all right? I got to shut it down here. By the way, if you want to come out on Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, you can. If you want to do it some other time, you can. We'll have flyers for you starting this week. Later this week, we'll have enough printed for you. And we're going to blitz this whole area, letting folks know about the church and our bus route in this area. Say, well, preacher, where would I go? I'll give you an area, chunk it off, and say, here you go. Let me know when you got the whole thing done. It's real easy. Let me say it this way. Just as you are not a good person by the absence of bad, you can't get to heaven by a lack of bad either.
Right.
You could live a life of no sin and still die and go to hell.
Right.
It is not the absence of bad. God says we get to heaven not by our righteousness, but by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is his righteousness imputed to our record that takes care of our eternity. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. You don't go to heaven because of how good you are. You go to heaven because of how good he is. I know this person, boy, I'm not sure they could get saved. You can't do a sin bad enough that God wouldn't save you. Not a one. You couldn't do a million sins bad enough that God wouldn't forgive you. Did you know God would even forgive a Nancy Pelosi? A Vladimir Putin? A Xi Jinping? An Adolf Hitler? Do you know that when Hitler was a young man, he went to a Baptist church in Germany, and the preacher didn't preach the gospel that night, and he left without ever hearing the gospel. I wonder if back in the 19-teens and 1920s, if a Baptist preacher in Germany would have had enough guts to give the gospel, whether we could have avoided the atrocities of World War II. It is not the absence of bad. It is the doing of good. So, let me say it this way. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Let me ask you a question. What evil communication do you need to fix in your life? Maybe we need to not just stop evil, but we need to overcome it by doing good. And the more good we do, the more we overcome the bad, according to Scripture. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who would say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Almost every hand. Thank you. You may put them down.